Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Based on what we know now, an emergency declaration of some sort would have been helpful.
That was New York's Deputy Mayor for Operations, Stephen Goldsmith, testifying before the City Council yesterday about the administration's response to last month's blizzards. By all accounts, they'll get another chance to coordinate snow removal tonight and tomorrow as a big storm is heading this way. WNYC reporters Elsa Chang and Bob Henley join me now to talk about what happened on December 26th and 27th and what we can expect this time around. Also, the Contrition Fest at the City Council hearing yesterday. As Clyde Haberman put it in his New York Times column today, theirs was not quite the public display of contrition shown by Henry IV, the 11th century monarch who sought absolution from the Pope by doing 3 days of penance in the snow. Nonetheless, one by one, the officials humbled themselves, a stylized falling on swords not often seen outside of samurai movies. So, Elsa, Bob, welcome back.
Hi,
the Brian Lehrer Show. And you were at the hearing, Elsa. What was the tone? Was it something like that?
Well, I think that's a little bit far. I wouldn't say that they went so far as to say that, you know, all of us absolutely didn't do our jobs. In fact, Stephen Goldsmith, the deputy mayor for operations, actually went out of his way more than once to praise John Doherty, the sanitation commissioner, who actually got a lot of heat, obviously because so many streets were left unplowed for days. He got a lot of anger directed at him. And more than once, Stephen Goldsmith said the mayor has always had utter confidence in Doherty before, during, and after the storm. And there was really absolutely no indication that Doherty's head would roll in any way, unlike John Perugia, the former chief of Emergency Medical Services, who did lose his job.
Why him? And why only him?
That's a good question. More than one council member asked, why has there only been one person demoted since the blizzard response? And all Goldsmith could say is, look, we're still reviewing the matter. We don't know if changes are going to be following from now, but we are looking into it.
Here's another clip of Deputy Mayor Goldsmith, who admitted that not calling a snow emergency was a mistake, and it turns out he wasn't even in on that decision. This is Brooklyn Councilman Jemani Williams asking about that.
This lack of snow emergency was made by Commissioner Sadakan and Doherty, correct?
Correct.
Did they inform the mayor of that, or did they inform you of that?
Didn't inform either of us of that.
So neither the mayor or you made the final decision on not making a snow emergency call?
Correct.
So why weren't they involved in the decision, Elsa?
Well, they were out of town. They didn't explain why there was no effort to actually rope them in through, you know, telephone or otherwise. But basically, it was a call that was made solely by the Sanitation Commissioner, John Doherty, and the Transportation Commissioner, Jeanette Sadik Khan. And there was really no apology, you know, for actually being a bit out of pocket during the holidays. Actually, even council members rescued them in certain moments, saying it's totally understandable that you, Deputy Mayor Goldsmith and Mayor Bloomberg would be out of town for the holidays. To this day, we don't know exactly where Mayor Bloomberg was during the run-up to the blizzard. But it
those were the council members who were personally in Tampa at the time who were giving that cover, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Bob Henley, I mentioned the Clyde Haberman column. I heard you chuckling. He also referred to Deputy Mayor Goldsmith as City Hall's designated lightning rod. Is he taking most of the blame for the city's response, and is that by design?
I think it's by the definition of the office itself as the deputy mayor in charge of operations. You know, he had a tough act to follow. We have not talked about Ed Schuyler. It's mentioned in the paper. Ed Schuyler was the person who held that job prior to Goldsmith coming in. Ed Schuyler had come up through the ranks of the city. He is 100% authentically New York City, worked every job through the Parks Department all the way up through, and was known to be a really hands-on, engaged individual. Didn't have much of a life, but the life he had was certainly centered on his job. And so with his departure, it appears that there was a breakdown in the middle management and a total lack of situational awareness. And I might add, you know, the arrogance of the New York press is kind of stunning. For some reason this morning, there's no reference in the coverage to the fact that acting governor, Democratic Senate President Steve Sweeney, facing the same storm, the same predictions, 6 p.m. the night before on Sunday, called a state of emergency. We had him on our air, Brian.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey, telling people to stay off the roads. Now, there were some problems. We do have a problem with the reductions in municipal workforces that produced some less and optimum results in New Jersey, perhaps some loss of life that could have been avoided. But bottom line is, this was a region confronted by a threat. And what's kind of scary is that no one's really mentioning this is the implications, heaven forbid, if we're attacked by, have a 9/11 event. Because that's really, this is kind of a benign thing, but it shows a total breakdown of those same systems that would have to be in place.
On the other hand, Bob, we aired the news conference that Mayor Bloomberg held, 2 days after the snow started. And he said it was a conscious decision. It wasn't just that somebody dropped the ball. They looked at the pros and cons of declaring a snow emergency and decided that it would make things worse rather than better because it would make people go down in the middle of the blizzard and move their cars from parking spots on streets where they wouldn't have been allowed to park, making things worse.
But see, by their admissions yesterday, they totally negated that because he wasn't even engaged. I mean, the bottom line here is that the key people responsible for doing this work were not engaged. The mayor was suggesting, as it described, we've reported, and it's been in the papers, that people take in a Broadway show. He did not understand the circumstances in the city he governs. Brian, that's dangerous. I'm sorry.
So, Elsa, much of the anger over the blizzard came from the outer boroughs. The representatives of the boroughs other than Manhattan at the hearing yesterday. Here is Queens City Councilman Peter Vallone questioning Sanitation Commissioner John Daugherty.
Spreaders were still out there and they were plowing. They weren't laying salt, but they were plowing.
No, they weren't. Okay, they weren't.
Yes.
At some point you have to realize they were not plowing. Okay, they may have been on some highways, they may have been in Manhattan, but they weren't in Queens, they weren't in Brooklyn, they weren't on Staten Island. They were not plowing where they should have been.
So, Elsa, did the commissioner explain the difference between the boroughs?
Well, he repeated an explanation that he's given since the storm, and that was that there was simply more snow in Brooklyn and Staten Island given the direction of how the storm approached the New York area. So there was more snow to clean up, and therefore that's what made the progress seem more slow. But he did, you know, give a mea culpa, like, we didn't have accurate information in real time about what streets were left unplowed and what streets were plowed. So that was probably another obstacle in getting streets cleaned up. But to be clear, it wasn't just Brooklyn and Staten Island and some areas in Queens. All these council members chimed in from Bronx and Inez Dickens in Harlem saying, you know, if all the Tony, there was a lot of talk about the Tony neighborhoods in Manhattan and how they got their streets plowed just fine. And Inez Dickens says, well, there are certainly some neighborhoods in Manhattan that are considered outer borough because she thought that the streets in Harlem took a long time to get cleaned up. People in the Bronx, council members in the Bronx said, yes, maybe the Bronx was a little better than Staten Island and Brooklyn, but Brooklyn and Staten Island were catastrophic. So being a little bit above catastrophic really isn't much to talk about.
So there was a competition for who had the worst grievance,
right,
and who was the most left out in the pecking order. Although, did the mayor defend what he again said in those days immediately after the blizzard, that there is a pecking order that is based on pragmatism? There are primary streets, which are the major thoroughfares. There are secondary streets, which are, you know, more major local roads, and then there are tertiary streets, and they get plowed last. And it just so happens that most of the ones that are in Midtown Manhattan, and maybe that extends to the Upper East Side and Upper West Side, where there's a ton of car traffic, that they got plowed first, and it didn't have anything to do with Tony neighborhoods.
That definitely was still the response, that the primary, secondary, tertiary division is still probably going to govern the way we clean streets going forward. But there was a lot of pushback. Council members even demanded, can you define once again what is primary, what is secondary, and what is tertiary? And does tertiary mean that streets go unplowed for days? So they've been saying that in the future, when they if they do declare snow emergencies more often, they may redefine exactly what rules would govern a snow emergency.
Let's see, primary is day one, tertiary is day two, day three. All right, listeners, we have a few minutes for you to call in with another storm on the way with your management advice for the Bloomberg administration. They were very willing to have their knuckles wrapped yesterday. Maybe not the mayor himself, who wasn't there. He designated his people to do it for him. But this is the mayor, famous for his management skills, but it looks like, at least when it comes to snow, he could use a little management advice. So if you have a little management advice for the Bloomberg administration, for the sanitation commissioner, for the transportation commissioner, for the new acting head of the EMS, call in right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and lay it on them with our Elsa Chang and Bob Henley. Bob?
Yeah, I think that what has been lost, though, is something that Goldsmith had initiated back in the fall with not as much fanfare as perhaps as it deserved, which was his proposal to put 100 mid-level sanitation department managers back on the trucks. Now, they were fighting that in court, but there's certainly a sense that just looking at the website for the supervisors' union, you can see that there was a demoralization that had kicked in and that this out-of-towner didn't understand the emotional implications of what those kinds of career demotions would do to those essential middle managers.
Right. The out-of-towner you refer to is Deputy Mayor Stephen Goldsmith, who's not a New Yorker. He was brought in by Mayor Bloomberg within the year as a deputy mayor. He was the mayor of Indianapolis previously. He had a reputation as an efficiency expert, as a cost cutter, and so he got brought in for his professional expertise without knowledge of New York, Elsa, and had just, although I would imagine this would demoralize people in Indianapolis as much as it would in the Bronx, he had taken 100 sanitation supervisors, taken them out from behind their desks, made them go back to work on trucks, or this was scheduled at least to take effect this month, and take a pay cut at the same time. And the snow hit just as those demotions were about to take effect. Did this come up at the hearing?
Actually, they defended that, you know, if there was any sort of insinuation that the sanitation department, it was suffering in morale, that wasn't the case. Actually, one of the president of the sanitation supervisors union, even though they said that this hearing was not about the criminal investigation into allegations that there was a deliberate work slowdown, that the sanitation supervisor president said there was absolutely no work slowdown. The council members didn't want him to go into that investigation, but he went out of his way to say that that as far as he was concerned, the sanitation workers, they were out there in full force doing their job. Deputy Mayor Goldsmith also said that actually the amount of sanitation workers that were cleaning up the blizzard this time was bigger than in past storms. They had just hired an incoming class of about 100 new sanitation workers. So there were no pockets of understaffing if you compare it to past blizzards.
And I would say, though, I did remember Doherty saying at a press conference I attended that they had more trucks than people. So we still haven't seen the bottom line here. And while that may be what the sanitation supervisor representative was saying at the hearings, his website was telling a very different story leading up to the storm.
Which was?
Well, just basically saying that the cuts and direction of Goldsmith's management style was putting the city in serious jeopardy.
Lauren,
I mean, it's out there. It's in black and white.
Lauren in New Rochelle, you have some management advice for the coming snowstorm?
I sure do. I can't stop laughing hearing this whole discussion because I am originally from Montreal. I've lived here for about 15 years. I grew up for 3 decades there. And when you get a snow report, you basically salt and sand the streets before the snow actually comes. And if it's not enough, as much snow as they expected, then that's fine. It's a budgetary issue from my perspective. Everybody's trying to save money, but there's no excuse for what I saw. And I frankly see this all the time. I see people calling snowstorms the one that's supposedly coming up 8 inches. In Montreal, Calgary, Edmonton, if they called for 8 inches, it wouldn't even affect anybody. Because
boy, you're so spot on, because this is the comments that the Queensborough President Helen Marshall made that she noticed in her extensive tenure in the public sector that they departed from exactly the protocol you describe in this storm. You're so right on.
Yep.
Lauren, thank you. On the other hand, we always hear from cities in the true north that, oh, when there's a snowstorm in New York, you people freak out, we just keep going, and, you know, God forbid it should snow in North Carolina or somewhere like it's been recently, and then we get all high and mighty about how well prepared we are. But isn't it a matter of equipment to some degree based on history? Bob, you know, if they have 1 million inches of snow a year in Minneapolis and it snows 50 days out of every 60 days, I'm exaggerating, then they're going to have a certain number of snowplows ready to go on this patrol. New York, a little less. Raleigh-Durham, a little less.
It has to do with gauging your effort and preparation based on past experience. And another thing that needs to be examined here was the reliance that the city has historically had on private contractors, and that's something that threw Sanitation Commissioner Daugherty for a real loop, was the whole question of the fact that they were missing these major front-end loaders. Those are the huge things with the big shovel buckets that can move, yards and yards of snow at a time. They were missing in action, and that was a critical part of the problem.
Bob in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I just wondered why the mayor himself didn't show up for this hearing. It seems like he's always happy to take the credit, but never the blame.
Elsa, did that come up explicitly at the hearing?
No, it didn't. It was almost a given that he wouldn't be there.
I personally lost some respect for him on that. Somebody who really takes responsibility when it needs to be taken. And he doesn't seem to be doing that. He's sending all the assistants and the aides and the secondary people, and the buck stops somewhere short of his desk.
Right. And, Bob, thank you. And, in fact, Bob Henley, do you think that this incident brings the mayor's image down a few pegs in terms of his being such a good manager? I mean, this was the basis on which the world was supposed to overlook the appointment of Kathy Black, not having any education experience, to become the school chancellor, because Michael Bloomberg appoints excellent managers, and he said she's an excellent manager. But we see now that Deputy Mayor Goldsmith came in without the knowledge of New York City, and that seemed to come back to bite him in this case. She's coming in without the knowledge of the school system. We don't know if it's going to come back to bite her yet, but here is the mayor suddenly riding in a new box.
Well, I think I don't want to conflate the two, because it seems that you got to give Chancellor Black the credit for, civic engagement. Let's let her have her turn, as it were. The question, though, about this engagement issue, this didn't happen in isolation. This sense of perception you're talking about was set into motion with the City Time scandal,
right,
which had happened just before that, where City Time, of course, started under the Giuliani era, the idea of working in an efficient way, trying to reinvent the way the city handles its payroll. It was supposed to cost them $60 million, ended up costing well over $700 million, and they're still not done with it. It looks like a half dozen individuals made off with $80 million. That's two snow removal efforts.
Right. And while the mayor may not be looking at that kind of thing personally in his day-to-day job, here is something that happened on his watch, some kind of management failure down the chain from
A specialty he handles, which is computer data services, which is how he made his vast fortune. So that's why – that's one of those things. And then also just before – there was another incident where the fire department had talked about trying to make some revenue by charging people – for motor vehicle accidents where a fire response is required. That wasn't a good news day either.
Rob from the fire department with some advice for the public if it snows tonight. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Brian. First time caller, long time fan.
Thank you.
It was just the amount of calls and the amount of non-emergency calls that we got. They have to be able to tell people, don't call for this. You have a nosebleed, you have a headache, you have an earache. We had someone call for a nightmare. These are things that just overwhelmed us. And they should be able to tell the people, this is not an emergency. It's a blizzard. Get yourself to the hospital, or just, wait until Wednesday when we can treat you.
You want a nightmare? Did it come up?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We did some reporting on this. There was a situation where the 311, which is the information system that the mayor had put into place, got overwhelmed. And when I ran it to ground, it turned out that the city didn't have sufficient trunk line capacity, that is like network capacity, to handle the insurge of calls, the influx of calls. And then similar with 911, they were also overwhelmed. I think some 50,000 calls compared to 55,000 calls on 9/11. And then only one in five of those 911 calls turned out to be an actionable emergency. So there's no doubt there needs to be revisiting that whole system.
And, Rob, thank you. That's a very well-placed piece of advice for people. They should call 311 if they're having a smaller problem, and maybe – Elsa, 311, which was also overwhelmed,
right,
dissuaded people and said, what the heck, I'll call 911 to deal with my bad dream.
But to that end, one of the deputies in the fire department did say that they are going to revamp the 911 system. basically, I guess right now, when calls come in, they don't necessarily get answered in the order that they come in, and it really leads to a lot of chaos in certain instances, as was the case in this blizzard. So they're revamping the system so that the order of the calls that come in will be answered in exactly that order, and they can respond to them more accordingly.
Myrna on Ocean Parkway, you have some management advice for the mayor for tonight?
I sure do. I'd like him to start talking to union people and to acknowledge that the working class, the union men and women, sanitation in this instance, are terrified. They're frightened they're going to lose their homes. They're frightened they're going to lose their jobs.
Myrna, thank you very much. We'll see what happens in the snow tonight. Bob Henley, before you go, New Jersey, as you said, many of the problems in New York were also found there, despite the official declaration of a snow emergency in New Jersey. Governor Christie also was out of town. His Lieutenant Governor, Kim Guadagno, was also out of town, which is why Senate President Sweeney had to be acting governor during that. Do you think Governor Christie will address this at all when he gives his State of the State address today?
Well, because it's fully transparent where he was, we're on to something else now, Brian, whereas the mayor's decision not to disclose where he was is keeping that story alive. I think that in this case, actually, there was bipartisan cooperation. Sweeney did not hold a press conference. He made strategic phone calls to media outlets from a standpoint of civil defense. Already, New Jersey has applied for FEMA money because it has an underlying emergency declaration, whereas the city is going to have to kind of, it has like 30 days from the event to figure out what. So I think that New Jersey has put itself in a better position. I mean, in the State of the State address today, Christie's not going to be giving us any major surprises, but he is going to continue to press ahead with his desire to try to basically reinvent the social contract between the public employees as it regards pension and health care benefits. The state faces some 50-some-odd billion dollars in a shortfall in unfunded liability in its pension funds, which is a result of major bipartisan malfeasance, and I don't think we can describe it any other way. And so this is really going to be, he's also going to push for tenure reform, and there's going to be, from what I can tell from talking with the New Jersey teachers, the NGA, they're still very engaged and look at him as someone who is going to continue to cut education. And they look at it like he's really, his agenda is all about privatizing what has historically been public schools. So we're going to see him press ahead on this, on the same themes that have kind of made him a national figure.
When you say privatizing public schools, do you mean actual vouchers or contracts with companies to run public schools in the public sector? What do you mean?
Well, the NGA, Steve Baker, the spokesman, said that they look at Christie as being aligned with, and this is the NGA saying this, not myself, but their approach is that he is, very much supportive of the idea of charter schools, which they're supportive of, but they see him supporting vouchers, and they feel that ultimately his agenda is to, defund public education. I mean, when you ask them that, the bottom line is that right now the state is continuing to be in a major fiscal freefall. We're facing the loss of the federal stimulus funds, which is happening across the country, at a time when, quite frankly, we're not seeing the return of revenues. I mean, we're also seeing the softening of property values continue in many spots in the state. People are appealing their property taxes and winning because of the fact that foreclosures still loom very heavy in terms of the long-term prospects for what people can get for their real estate. So as long as you have those underlying fundamental weaknesses, you're going to have to be looking at what Christie's looking at, which is cutting, $10 billion out of the budget.
Should we be looking at this Christie speech this afternoon, which, by the way, we will have live on our politics website, It's a Free Country? Should we be watching the speech half as a State of the State address and half as a presidential campaign speech?
No, I think it's important to look at the task at hand, which is getting some hint of how he is going to make up this huge budget deficit. You know, as a technical matter, he'll have to get specific come February. But, we're going to look to see. I mean, the irony here is that, as been pointed out by Democratic Senate President Steve Sweeney, while Christie bemoans the underfunded nature and abuse of the pension fund by both parties, He himself decided not to contribute the $3 billion required last year in hopes of reforming it. So certainly if Christie, for instance, says that he will consider at least putting some money in next year's budget towards a pension, that will, I think, begin to build some bridge of trust that's going to be required here. Because right now, looking at the latest polling data, there's tremendous alienation between the public workforce and Christie.
And, Bob, you have a new blog post up in your Stuck Nation series on our politics website. It's a free country. You want to give us a thumbnail?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that we're seeing City Controller John Liu really step forward on the national stage. He's pulled together a coalition, along with State Controller DiNapoli, pulled together a coalition of pension funds from around the country, you know, state pension funds, and is trying to hold the big banks accountable, the J.P. Morgans accountable, for the fact that we are seeing what could be a looming second mortgage mess. This is really, you know, we wanted to know what those troubled assets were that they were hiding the ball on. Well, evidently, we are seeing a situation where there was all this robo-signing. You may have heard that in the rush to create these elaborate innovation products, you know, where they had these mortgage-backed securities, they may have had some shortcuts where they kind of robo-signed some of the documents, and maybe they didn't exactly, certify or properly certify or post at the local county seat that who actually owned the mortgage. So there's a whole massive question going on in about tens of thousands of foreclosures that may have not been done properly. And so Liu is forcing through his role as a primary pension officer, asking these banks, because these pension funds have some $6 billion in stock in these banks, to be forward and transparent and just explain right now how much transparency they have, something that, for whatever reason, the Obama administration's been slow to do.
WNYC's Bob Henley, WNYC's Elsa Chang, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Maybe we'll get a response from the teachers themselves tomorrow when they can all call into the show during the snow day when all the schools will be closed. But we won't be able to invite the sanitation workers. All right, talk to you guys. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Sarah Palin's response to the shooting, a one-sentence email to Glenn Beck. Stay with us.